All right, good morning, everybody. Wednesday morning, December 1st, 11:15, last Chem 12 lecture. I am going to do a little bit more lecture because I want to get through this last little bit here and just show you some really cool things that we can do with these aromatic reactions. So let me go ahead and switch over to the iPad. And then I'll save a little bit of time at the end to tell everybody where we're at. That's email, that's not working. That is, okay, not sure. All right, so where we ended up, let's do a quick overview of where we ended up. Last time we were doing electrophilic aromatic substitution. And what we had found out is that when we have an electron donating group, that electron donating groups are orthopara directors, that they speed the reaction up. And that they speed the reaction up because when we have an electrophile that has a positive charge and we reach out and we grab that electrophile, that the intermediate has a positive charge that falls right under the electron donating group. And that allows direct stabilization through resonance, where the electron donating group can take on the positive charge. It gives us an additional resonance contributor. And so what we find is that electron donating groups speed the reaction up and are ortho para directors, because that's where we get that additional resonance contributor. When we look at electron withdrawing groups, these are things that already have positive charges on them, partial positive charges on them, or are strongly electron withdrawing, that when these guys reach out and grab an electrophile, that they are dominated by grabbing that electrophile in the meta position, where we don't generate the positive charge underneath the electron withdrawing group. So here what happens is, if we look at this, if we spread out the positive charges and think about where the positive charge goes, it goes here, positive, it goes here, and it goes here. And so the electron withdrawing groups, in that they already have a partial positive, electron withdrawing groups slow the reaction down. And that these are meta directors, because in the meta position, that keeps the positive charge directly away from the electron withdrawing group. So that's kind of where we ended things. The question still becomes, when we look at orthopara directors, what is it that determines how much ortho we see versus how much para we see? So one of the main questions still is, with electron donating groups, how much ortho versus para do we see? And what is the dominance of ortho versus para or para versus ortho, and what governs that component of it. So what we can do is we can do a study where we take a look at the percent of ortho, meta, and para based on nitration reactions. So basically what we're doing is we're taking an aromatic ring that has an alkyl group on it. We're nitrating it. And that R group is an ortho para director, but we'll see still some meta. And what we're going to do is we're going to measure the percentages that we get out of this, where we get the nitro group going in the different positions. And the question is, how much do we see of both these three? Right, so the way that we'll write this out, and it'll fit in right here, is to take and to look at different substituents. And we can look at a methyl group. We can look at an ethyl, an isopropyl, and finally a tertiary butyl. So what does this seem like I'm setting up here in terms of the groups? What is it that I'm comparing in these groups? It's clearly not the amount of electron donating that we're seeing, because these are all alkyl groups, so they're all going to donate to the same degree. Giving them a little bit of room around them. So what we're seeing here is we're seeing an increase in sterics as we go from methyl to ethyl to isopropyl to tertiary butyl. When we look at that, what we see is we get 58.5% and 37.2% in those ortho and para positions. And in the meta position, we get 4.4%. The 58% is a combination that you have two sides, and that there are two of the ortho positions. There are two meta positions, and there is only one para position. So if we took each one of these ortho positions and we divided 58.5 by two, then we would have the percent on one side, the percent on the other side. This guy, 37.2%, is clearly still the dominant. So para seems to be the dominant position, even though when there are two positions here, ortho becomes the dominant there. More on that in a minute. Let's go forward with this. This goes to 6.5% and 45 and 48. And then 62.3% and 30% and 7.7%. And then lastly, we get 11.5, 15.8, 8, and finally 72.7. So what do these numbers tell us in terms of percentages? What they're telling us is that when there are two positions open and you have a group as small as a methyl group, that the ortho position is the dominant position, followed by para, and then meta is the smallest. But as soon as you put some sterics on here beyond a methyl, And this guy, we have to remember that there's free rotation about the sigma, so that acts like a little propeller, that it starts protecting both sides, knocking down the percentage to 45% for the ortho and 48.5%. So anything bigger than a methyl group directs para. Anything methyl group or smaller directs ortho as the major. That's sort of the outcome that we're seeing out of this. And as we go to isopropyl, now it falls to 30%, 62% of the para. And notice that the meta keeps increasing, but the meta is only increasing because we're decreasing the ability to be able to get to the ortho position. And so as that ortho position falls, we generally see a slight increase in meta substitution. So what we say here is that ortho versus para is governed by sterics. And that methyl group or smaller directs into ortho position. And larger than methyl directs para. And if one side is occupied, then para is always going to be the major. So if one of the ortho positions is blocked or taken already, then major becomes para, even with a small group. Okay, so those are our major lessons or major outcomes out of this. Okay, when we were looking at these electrophilic aromatic substitution reactions though, all of the substituents that we've been putting on have been things like nitro groups and bromides. And the question becomes, what is the real utility of this reaction if that's all we can do, if we can put on bromides and then we can put on nitro groups? This reaction can't be very interesting if that's all we can do. And that's true. It wouldn't be very interesting if that's all we can do. But we have some other tricks up our sleeves. So for instance, if we take an aromatic ring system and we react it with cyclohexene, and we do this with sulfuric acid, what we wind up getting is we wind up getting substitution by the cyclohexane group. And we wind up with two different products. And this is where it starts to get exciting. So this one is major, this one is minor. But the question is, what is the mechanism? How did this happen? How did we actually go in and put an alkyl group onto there? Well, if you think about your reactions with alkenes, with sulfuric acid, the mechanism in this is that the sulfuric acid protonates that alkene. And once it protonates it, it creates a carbocation. And the carbocation is a very strong electrophile. And as a very strong electrophile, that is subject to reaction by the electrophilic aromatic substitution reaction. So now what we see is that an aromatic ring system will reach out to that, bind to that carbocation, did my angles oddly here. And there's no way to fix it. I've just got an odd angle. I'm just going to draw my aromatic ring system this way. And I'll put the positive charge on this side. And the double bonds there and there. And there's a proton in that position. And the next thing that winds up happening is some base in solution. We could use the sulfate anion because that's what was created from the sulfuric acid. We can pull that proton and regenerate the aromaticity. And there we get an alkylation. And so this is an electrophilic aromatic substitution where we're alkylating it. And these are called Friedel-Crafts reactions. So Friedel-Crafts reaction is where we alkylate in doing electrophilic aromatic substitution. And any way in which we can create a carbocation, we can alkylate. So if we think about all the different reactions where we've created carbocations before, then any carbocation that we create, we can do an electrophilic aromatic substitution reaction, which is really cool all of a sudden to be able to do this. And so the question is, how many different ways can we create carbocations now? And all of the traditional ones that we've had, but also some new ones. So one of the ways that we've done in the past that we can look at is with alcohols. So not only alkenes, but alcohols where we use H2SO4. And as we create the carbocation, then that carbocation can add and we can alkylate the aromatic ring system. And as we've learned before with carbocations, carbocations like to rearrange. So if I have an alcohol and I do H2SO4, this is going to go through the initial primary carbocation, but that can rearrange very quickly into a secondary carbocation. So we can go from primary to secondary. And what we'll see is that when we look at the products that come out of this, we will get a combination of products that will be both the primary and the secondary. And that this one, due to that carbocation rearrangement, becomes major. Another example of that in a slightly different way of creating a carbocation is that I can remove a halogen using a Lewis acid. AlCl3, this will pull off that proton and again, or pull off the chloride. And again, I go from primary to secondary and I get the different products. Essentially the same reaction as above, just a different way of doing it. But what's nice about this is that I can also look at this and say, what is the ratio of these products that I see? And I can look at different temperatures, -6 degrees Celsius and 35 degrees Celsius. So close to zero, a little below zero, and a little above room temperature, hot and cold. And what percentages do I see? I see 60% when it's cold of the primary and 40% of the rearrangement. And if I heat that thing up and I give it some more thermal energy, what I see is an absolute flipping, 40% and 60%. So whether the system has enough thermal energy to be able to go through and do the carbocation rearrangement, if I capture this guy quickly, what happens is I capture it at the primary, and if I give it some more energy and more time, then it fully isomerizes. And so it's a little bit temperature dependent, and I can control the system into what becomes major under different temperatures. So these are different Friedel-Crafts alkylation reactions. In addition to this, think about other carbocation type molecules that we've looked at. In mass spec, we saw carbonyl compounds undergo ionization and fragmentation. And from mass spec, we had seen these oxonium ions. Oxonium ions, if we look at their resonance associated with them, they really are resonance stabilized carbocations. And yes, the oxonium ion is the major component, but this idea that this is a carbocation, if we can form that carbocation, maybe we can get electrophilic aromatic substitution with that carbocation as well. So the question is, well, how can we form a species like these oxonium ions outside of the mass spec? And the answer is we can. What we can do is there's a couple of different ways to do it. One way to do it is to take an anhydride and with these anhydrides, we can utilize a Lewis acid, AlCl3, and what it will do is it will bind to one side of the lone pairs of the carbonyl. And when it binds to that one side, it creates a good leaving group. So we get a minus and a positive. And what happens is the whole thing dissociates then, kicking this group out. And we get that oxonium ion. Plus, we get that guy that goes away. So this is a way of creating that oxonium ion. And we can also do this via acid chlorides. Acid chlorides like to do this as well, where the chlorine is stripped away using AlCl3. This creates that oxonium ion, and it creates AlCl4. As the counter ion. So these are two ways of creating oxonium ions. And once that oxonium ion is created, then we can do what are called acylations. So this is where it starts to become really fun too. So if we take an aromatic ring system and an anhydride and aluminum trichloride or some other Lewis acid, we go through the oxonium ion, So this is a way of creating the oxonium ion, which through resonance is a resonance stabilized carbocation. Then this will bind to that carbocation. And what we get is what's called an acylation rather than an alkylation. We add on the acyl group. So the group that we're adding in is the group there with our new carbon-carbon bond. So there's our new bond. And it's exactly the same mechanism that we've been doing. The mechanism hasn't changed. We're just showing new ways of creating carbocations. And so if we do that, what we can do then is we can look at doing multiple reactions. Watch this. Let's see what happens if we do multiple reactions now. Let's say that we take an aromatic ring system. And let's go in and add in an acyl group, a carbonyl. There's no other substituent on the aromatic ring, so where we place it, all positions are equal, it's irrelevant. And then I can take and I can brominate this. So I can add Br2 and let's use AlBr3. So we don't get any confusion as our Lewis acid. And now this is going to brominate. And the question is, well, where is this going to brominate? What type of group is this? So when we look at this group and we ask what type it is it an electron donating group? Or is it an electron withdrawing group? And so we've got to know what type of group it is that we're adding in next to. And if we consult the list from Monday, we see that carbonyls are on the list of electron withdrawing groups. So this is actually an electron withdrawing group, and that means that this is a meta director. And so as that next group goes on, it goes on in the meta position. And we end up with that guy. Now, what happens if we turn that around? What happens if we add in the bromine first? We take the aromatic ring system and we brominate first. Br2, AlBr3. Now we put in the bromine. Let's put it in here so it's in the same position as before. And then we subsequently go in and we do the acylation reaction. Now we ask the same question again. We look at this group and we say, what is this group? Is this an electron donating group? Or is it an electron withdrawing group? So we consult the list and we find out that halogens were at the bottom of the electron donating groups, that they slightly deactivate, but because of their lone pairs, that they're orthopara directors. So it falls into the electron donating group as an orthopara director. And then bromides, in terms of their size, they are a little bit bigger than a methyl group. In terms of how big that element is, it's a period four group. It's a very large group. And so when this alkylates, it alkylates predominantly in the para position as the major position that it goes in. And so what you can see is I can create these either in the meta position or in the para position, and it really depends upon the order of addition in which direction I put the groups in. So I have control over what position these groups go in, which is really kind of cool. All right, one more thing. Let's look at an alkyl group and a halogen rather than a carbonyl and a halogen. Let's say that I take and I want to put in an ethyl group. And so maybe the way that I put in this ethyl group is with a chloride and AlCl3. This works a little bit better than alcohols does, as opposed to trying to knock off a hydroxyl group. This is a little bit more reliable. And I put in the ethyl group. And then let's say that I want to chlorinate this, Cl2 and AlCl3. And so now I'm going to chlorinate it. And where's the chlorine group going to go? Again, I have to assess this, and we find that this is an electron donating group. It's larger than methyl, so it's going to go para. So this should predominantly go into the para position. And that would be the major species. Flip it around. Let's do the chlorine first. Let's see what happens. Cl2, AlCl3, chlorine first. I'll put the chlorine over here so it's in the same position as before so that we can see sort of the difference. And now we'll do the alkylation. And the question is, where is the alkyl group going to go? Well, the chlorine group, we have to figure out what is the chlorine group. Is it an electron donating group or is it an electron withdrawing group? And we just did halogens. So we happen to know that this is acting as an electron donating group, and that chlorine as a size of a group is really on par with a methyl. This is about approximately the same size. It's not too much bigger than a methyl, maybe just a little bit. And so we might see sort of a split between products here where it's going to go ortho. And it's going to go para. And it might be pretty close to both, but what I don't get meta. Because both groups, both the alkyl group and the chlorine group, are both electron donating groups, I wind up getting only ortho and para, and that's it. So the question is, unlike this other one where I could control, I could get meta, or I could get para, is there a way that I could get meta with this? And it doesn't appear so. It doesn't appear because it looks like if I put the alkyl group on first, it goes para. And if I put the chlorine group on first, it goes ortho or para. And there's no way to get meta. And yet chemists really want to get them in the meta position. That would be crazy if I couldn't get these in the meta position. That just makes a synthetic challenge. And so organic chemists love a synthetic challenge. And so we try to find a way to give it what Mother Nature will not give us. So this is what we do. What we do is we take the aromatic ring system and we first put the we first put a ketone group on. We do an acylation. We put an acyl group on there. After adding the acyl group, we go in and we add the chlorine. Now, the acyl group will direct the chlorine into the meta position. And now there's one more reaction that we add here. This is a reaction that is a new reaction. It uses a zinc and mercury amalgam with HCl. This reaction is called a Clemmensen reaction. And what it does is it removes the carbonyl, leaving the alkyl chain there. It is a reduction where the oxygen is removed completely. And it allows us to be able to get the meta substitution. So this is a reduction where the oxygen is completely removed. We have two reactions that'll do this. One is called the Clemmensen, and the other one is called a Wolff-Kishner. They have different reagents associated with each of them. The Wolff-Kishner is a pretty cool reaction too. But this is a way of taking, and what we do is we take a group that is an electron withdrawing group, and we put the electron withdrawing group in there. The electron withdrawing group allows us to then be able to place the next group ortho meta to it. And then we take and we convert it into an electron donating group afterwards, after we get the substitution pattern. And so it's a way of using that carbonyl as a directing group to be able to get the substitution pattern that we want. So really cool ideas there. With those ideas in play, what we can then do is we can then start to ask, how can we do substitutions? Let me first, though, ask a couple of other questions before I show you examples of how we can put things together. Let's take this guy. And let's see if you can use this information. So if I want to brominate this, and I'll do it with ferric bromide, where is it going to brominate? Let's go with some positions here. Let's say that this is position A, B, C, D. Really, A and D are the same. So we can just really look at A or B. Is it going to brominate on A or is it going to brominate on B? And what is going to be the directing group here? So this is a question of which group directs. So we have to think about what these two different groups are. One of these groups is an electron donating group. And electron donating groups with both positions open, this would direct towards ortho. Para is already taken. The other group is nearly at the top of the list of electron withdrawing groups. And as such, this is going to direct into the meta position. So if I look at where the electron donating group is directing, the electron donating group is directing towards this position. And if I look at where the electron withdrawing group is directing, it's directing into the same position. So meta to the nitro would be position A. Ortho to the methyl would be position A. They're directing towards the same place, and there's no conflict. So because they're directing into the same location, and there seems to be no conflict, this is what I would expect. Okay, but let's create some conflict. So let's put them in position where they direct in different positions. Let's take and put the methyl group and the nitro group like this. Now we take a look at where the methyl is directing, and the methyl is going to be directing to the two ortho positions and the para position. And because of the sterics, the increased sterics that are over on this side, maybe we can discount the one that's between the methyl and the nitro, and we would say that those two would be predominantly the major places where it may go. And then where is the nitro group directing? The nitro group, as an electron withdrawing group, is directing towards that position, into the meta position, because the other meta position is taken up. So now the question is, where is it going to go? Which group is going to be the directing group? Is it nitro that is going to push things into the meta? Or is it the methyl, which is going to push things ortho-para? And which one of these is more important? Any ideas? Let's think back to the mechanism in terms of what an electron donating group does. An electron donating group directs ortho-para by direct stabilization, direct support of the carbocation. So by resonance. In other words, this is lowering the activation energy. An electron withdrawing group directs meta by least bad resonance, meaning all the other options are bad options where the positive charge falls directly below the electron withdrawing group. And the meta is the only one where the positive doesn't fall directly below the electron withdrawing group. So still destabilizing, just the least destabilizing. So, in other words, this one is raising the E sub A, slowing the reaction down. So, in trying to determine which of these two effects is going to be a stronger effect, remember that we're always interested in trying to lower the energy of the system. And that what we see is that electron donating groups, the stronger the electron donating group, the more directing the group becomes. Or the group that is the strongest directing group will be the strongest electron donating group. So for all of these reactions, the substitution is guided by the strongest electron donating group. So if there's an electron donating group in there and everything else is electron withdrawing, it's the electron donating group that governs. So then where do we wind up going? Do we wind up going next to the nitro? Do we wind up going next to the ortho position? We'd wind up getting probably a combination of these two. I would put my money saying that because the methyl group is a little bit smaller than the nitro with these oxygens on it and how this group works, that that the substitution is going to go into that ortho position, but we'll probably see some that is in the para position as well. So what we get here in this one, when we brominate FeBr3, I would say that this one is likely to be major, and that where the bromine is para to the methyl group is probably significant but minor. And that those would be the two positions where it would go, and that we would not see it go meta to the nitro, because the nitro isn't really a directing group, it's only directing in absence of anything else. So we always go with the strongest electron donating group is the way that we do that. So let me give you one more. Try one more here. Let's say that we have an amine and a chlorine. And what we're going to do is that we are going to brominate again. Where is it going to go? Now, both of these are electron donating groups. So the amine group is an electron donating group and the chlorine is an electron donating group. But when you look on that list, what you see on the list is that of the electron donating groups, that we had NR3 or NR2 as one of the largest groups. And down below, we had the chlorine, the bromine, the iodine, and that this was more activating. But it means we're at the top of that list. And then NH3 or NH2, and then oxygens, OH, and then OR. There was a bunch of other things that were in here, but amines were pretty much at the top of that electron donating group. So that means that this group is really the most directing, and that the chlorine is less directing. And so we would expect that as an ortho para director and the para position is taken up, that this can only go into the ortho. And so the major species would be chlorinating ortho to the main directing group. So you can see that when we start to put three groups onto these, putting on replacing that third group becomes an interesting idea. And the question then becomes, what happens if we want to put three different groups on and I give you a test? This would be take and start from benzene and put together a series of reactions, which allows you to be able to put in different groups in place. And maybe I also want I don't want to create something that I can't make. But put the three groups in place and figure out how to put them on in the right order in order to get the right substitution pattern. Now, sometimes when I do this, if I'm just creating it off the top of my head, usually what I like to do is I like to work backwards so I don't make any mistakes. I'm gonna hope that this one is a viable one. And we've got to figure out a series of reactions then to get this substitution pattern. And so So the question is, how do we go about and do that? In taking a look at these groups, we have to take into account what type of directing group it is, how big it is, what its sterics is, and whether or not I can place those next groups in place. So we could just start off just by trying, and we could say, well, what happens if I put the nitro group on first? So we could try nitro, chlorine, alkyl. Nitro group, HNO3, H2SO4. That puts in my nitro group. And then I go in and I add in the chlorine, Cl2, AlCl3. And nitro is a meta director. And so right there, we've already failed. So we know that we can't put the nitro group on first. So that means that maybe the chlorine or the alkyl group needs to go on first. So let's try chlorine and then alkyl group, and then we can try nitro. So we go in and put in the chlorine. Let's go ahead and place it where we wanted it. And then we'll put in the alkyl group, and I'll do this using ACl3 as well. Now the chlorine is an ortho para director, chlorine being fairly small, it's likely to go into this position. Or it's possible that I could get some of that. I'm not going to put or, I'm going to put plus. I'm going to put major because of the size of the chlorine. And we failed again. That can't go into that position. So we're not getting the substitution pattern that we were really looking for there. So maybe what we need to do is we need to analyze this a little bit better. And we need to come up and say, okay, this group here and this group need to be meta to each other. And these are two strong directing groups. So because they need to be meta to each other and they are both electron donating groups and directing groups, maybe we need to try that trick where we put the carbonyl in here first. And then by putting the carbonyl in here first, then maybe we can do some work here. So now what we can do is we can go in and we can say, all right, by planning this, if we go in and do an ethyl group with an acyl chloride, an ACl3, now I put in the acyl group. That's now a meta director. Now I can chlorinate. That's going to go meta. Now the chlorine group becomes a directing group and is a major directing group. The position here is pretty much blocked by this guy and the chlorine group. This is an open group, as is this one. I've got a little bit of sterics from the chlorine, so this is a slightly bigger group. I may not get as much of that as I want, but I'm going to go in and do HNO3, H2SO4. I'll swing it down here. I would get a little bit of this. As I said, maybe not as much as I want. Oops, that's supposed to be nitro. Plus, this would probably be my major species. So I may have to do a little tweaking at the end here. One more time. And then I can remove using that zinc mercury amalgam. And let's see, the chromosome also used HCl. And I would get some of that guy as being minor, but probably this one being major. So we'd have to play with it a little bit more to try to get it. But I think you're starting to see the idea that I can't just randomly try, or I could, but I'd have to go through all the permutations until I get something that works. The idea is to look at your groups and to figure out the relationships of the groups and the directing nature of the groups and which group needs to go on first, which group needs to go on second, which group needs to go on third in order to get to a synthetic target. And so I can start to target things that way. Is the main way in which we go through and do these. So these are really fun reactions because all of a sudden now we're able to actually put substituents onto these aromatic ring systems. And you can see now that we can start building much more diverse types of molecules, much larger molecules, once we're starting to be able to work with aromatic ring systems. And so lots more synthesis comes into that with these acylation reactions, Friedel-Crafts, what are called Friedel-Crafts acylations and Friedel-Crafts alkylations. And so anytime we can create a carbocation, we can then add that carbocation into an aromatic ring system in a electrophilic aromatic substitution reaction. Okay. Let me go ahead and I think that's where I want to cut that chapter. I don't want to do that, a whole bunch of that. You guys have other work that you need to do. So let me give you an overview of where we're at. And I think everybody who's here was here in the morning group. There's nobody new, but for people who may be watching the video, I'm just going to restate things that that I decided not to put any more lab work on you guys. So you have that one lab report that you worked on. I'm gonna go and get working on those now. That's the only lab work that I'm gonna have for you guys. A large part of your lab grade is just based on attendance. And even for those people who are watching remotely, we're gonna call it attendance. You guys participated with me. You were here on all of those days where we worked on lecture materials and worked really hard. And I very much appreciate all of the work that you guys put into it. And so participation is a major component there. For lecture, you have two things for lecture that need to be completed. One is that spectroscopy quiz, mass spec quiz, that is up in the Canvas shell. And the other one is the second exam that you guys are working on. So that second exam, I'm gonna extend out until Tuesday of next week. So you have a little bit more time to work on that spectroscopy exam. We're gonna call that the final exam. So there will be no additional final and I'll have no additional assignments for you guys. It'll be just that spectroscopy exam that you need to complete and that mass spec quiz that we worked on together, which was mostly completed. So you can go back and watch that video from last Monday. And that's where we worked on that. So so most of the answers were in that video to put together and to get that thing uploaded. And I think with that, we're gonna call it a wrap. You guys have any questions in terms of what we need to do or what I'm asking you guys to do? All right. Well, it hasn't been my best teaching semester. I'll give it that. I apologize for that. But you guys have been a good, really, really good group. And I've really very much enjoyed working with you. And the fact that you guys have shown up every day and been here constantly throughout all of this is really impressive. And I greatly, greatly appreciate all of the work that you guys have put into it this semester. So I know that it's been rough, but you guys have hung in there, and I'm super impressed and super stoked. You guys have done a really good job. All right, so office hours today, I have some dental work that I need to go do. So I'm gonna check out of office hours today, but I will be online tomorrow on Thursday, and I'll be available through the Discord. And if you wanna get in touch with me for any other reason or other office hours, just shoot me an email and let me know. And I'll set up some office hours for next week if I need to, if people are looking for some help or looking for some support, okay? And I think that's it. I think we'll call it a quiz. Oh, and don't forget, let me just remind people really quick too. I showed this in lab this morning, but I'm gonna put these documents, in fact, I think those documents are up online. Let me see if they are where I think they are real quick. Let me screen share. Safari. And then on Chem12B, I don't have them in additional resources. I have them in the archive lectures. And I will put them into our lecture series as well. I have additional notes for chapters that we did not cover that are particularly helpful chapters for people going into biochemistry, which is generally where you go on from here. If you are more of a biology major, or you're going to, or you're going on into biochemistry as opposed to going on into straight chemistry, biochemistry, typically they expect you to have gone through carbohydrate chemistry, amine chemistry, peptide chemistry, and enolate chemistry is really helpful. So these are the next chapters in sequence that we would have covered. Oh, that's not good. I'll have to go make sure that that's linked the way that it's supposed to be. And I'll get them linked in our series of lectures as well. Carbohydrate is going to work, but this brings up topics that are generally covered within these chapters, and showing you lecture notes and slightly more detailed lecture notes of how I would go through and do these types of problems and the different subjects within carbohydrate, within amines, within enolate chemistry and peptide chemistry and all of that stuff. So all of those notes I'll put online for you guys as well. And usually what I do with the lecture notes is I keep the lecture notes up for a year. So you can see that these are archived from last spring. I'll move ours into the archive and I'll open it up for the new things for after summer when we come in spring 2022. And so your lecture notes will be up there for a year that I'll just keep online here because the Canvas shell closes. So that's why I really like keeping these lecture notes in an accessible location outside of the Canvas shell. Okay, so all of those will be there for you. And you can always email me and let me know if you can.
Those are chapters like 22, 23, and 24?
Yeah, there are chapters that are up there a bit. Like I said, normally we would go through all of the carbonyl chemistry, and I haven't created notes for the carbonyl chemistry because normally that's something that we usually incorporate within our standard curriculum. But because we backtracked at the beginning of the semester, remember, instead of starting with the alkynes, or even after the alkynes, sometimes we start after the alkynes, we went back and we started back with the alkenes to recover some of our material. And that set us back a little bit, back from where we would normally be. But that's okay, that's what we needed to do. Otherwise we wouldn't have been successful moving forward as we were. So that was an important work to go back and do. All right. So I think that's everything, unless you guys have any questions. Let me know. Oh, go ahead, Karina.
Was there a full lab today or did you cut it short? Because I joined a little late and nobody was in the Zoom.
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time, Karina? I didn't quite catch all of that.
Was there a full lab Zoom meeting this morning?
No, Karina, we did a very short lab session this morning. What I said was I wasn't going to impose any more lab material on you guys, and that, and we didn't really have far enough into the aromaticity electrophilic aromatic substitution to do a bunch of work problems. And so I decided to scrap it this morning. And it was just a brief getting together and talking about the semester a little bit and how I had lost track of time. And just as I was recovering from all of the things that I had been going through this semester and getting really excited about those additional labs that I had filmed and starting to get them online, I realized that that was not realistic to have you guys write another lab report and that that was going to be an undue burden for you guys in your additional classes. So I was not going to continue on and make that an additional assignment. I was going to scrap that assignment.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I joined just a little bit late and nobody was in the Zoom, so I just assumed we didn't have anything.
Yeah, you had it. That's correct, Karina. Okay, well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Keep in touch. Let me know how it goes with the final and if you need any additional support, and I'll be around, okay?
Thank you, Professor.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, you guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.